How you doing this evening?
On way home from work. How about you?
Same thing. Trying to avoid traffic as best as possible.
So it's an area called Possum Kingdom, so I ain't gonna have no traffic.
85, so it's always just busy. At least I don't have to go southbound, but still.
I travel 85 every day. Traffic always. I never good, did like traffic. On a few days, did I miss anything?
Well, I've been kind of lost, too. I haven't been on the radio the last 2 days. I was home from work, so mainly just playing on HS.
I'm studying to upgrade my license and maybe get into that, but then my wife started talking about wanting some goats, and I thought about wanting some chickens, so now I'm working on doing all that.
Yeah, before they institute the new fees, which, you know, I mean, beat the bugs, which probably won't break most people, but still, $15 now or $15.50 later on.
It probably hurts more than that. Well, I don't know if it's going to hurt, because, I mean, I think probably 90% of all the new people, probably for more than that, aren't really going to do much with it after a few months. Anyway, a lot of people are just getting into it because it's think it's cool, but then they're going to realize they don't like it. A lot of young people don't think they're going to stick with it, so I don't think it'll hurt too much in the long run.
Found some of the call sign hoppers, but who knows? I mean, you spend, what, $1,000 on a radio? I mean, $50, $5 a year, it's not really that bad.
I don't think it is. I think it does kind of suck, but I don't think it is. I mean, it's not bad to have to deal with. As long as they don't just keep you attacking on that and add it up. If you have to change your email or your address, I think it charges you. I think you have to pay for that, too.
Easy considering that's all probably electronic. Won't nobody actually have to do anything.
Is there any changes whatsoever, you have to pay the fee, which that'll just suck. A lot of people, you know, do change a lot of addresses for move a lot for work. Of course, those people are making a good bit of money, and so I guess it really won't bother them. But still, the fact they have to do it, just to, like you said, do an electronic change. It ought to be one of the things you can just go in there yourself and just automatically do.
Don't really surprise me. I mean, it is the government, but it is a lot of money just to change your address. Hopefully it won't be 50, but it's still.
I guess not. I'm pretty sure that's what it said, though. Could be wrong. Hope I am.
You're right there. Hopefully it's just for the testing and stuff and changing your call sign, but who knows? What it is, you know.
Yeah, I think it actually already is a $10 fee. I think it already was that. I don't remember now.
Do you mind paying the $15 to the VEs and stuff? But I mean, like I said, if I decide to go either to extra or I renew, I don't think I really mind the $50 too bad.
Yeah.
I won't put the work in to get my extra though.
Give you. I can't remember now.
Okay.
How much extra does getting the extra license give you as far as bands and everything?
I'm not 100% sure. I know it opens up a few areas where, like whenever I'm on 14, you can't go below 14 to 25. So it opens up all that, all the way down to the digital ends. And I know 40 meters and 80 meters, you gain a decent amount, but, I mean, it ain't a ton, but still.
KS4, VWA. Hey, guys, I just happened to hear you talking about that extra. The big advantage on the extra is if you do any HFDX, a lot of the DXers hang around down below that level where a general can go, and they feel like there's less people down there, so they work down in the extra class range. Kind of keeps the traffic down a little bit. But pretty much, everything from where the general class stops through the rest of the band, from 20 up, is where you get to go.
And so it makes it a little easier if you ain't having to listen weep through all the other traffic.
I got to go get my extra. I got to finish up.
See the advantage. I mean, shoot. I got the chart on my wall, and I got my 7300 set up where the scope will only show me the areas where I can actually talk on. So if somebody's below that, I know better than to go on down.
Two on there. This is Steve up at Inman, K4VWA.
4CEF, this is Andrew. I also live in Inman, Orbo and Springs, but and I can't remember the other guy's name. I'm horrible with names. Go ahead.
I'm KO4GPA. I'm down here in Piedmont now, South Carolina.
I thought that was you, Jimmy. I just didn't hear your call sign, and I thought I recognized your voice in there. So are you a general?
Yep.
Well, you need to step on up, and I tell you what, it opens up a whole new world on HF, man, I'm telling you. I stepped off into DXing, and all of a sudden, I'm talking to Spain and Portugal, England, and Serbia, and Russia, and that's on voice, too. Matter of fact, I managed to make a contact on South Orkney Island back a while back. That's almost 9,000 miles.
Yeah, I've been wanting to. Like I said, I was actually fixing to start studying and everything. Like I said, I got sidetracked on some other projects. I might get on it here soon. How long is it before they start to raise that fee, actually raise it?
To raise what?
Your license.
Oh, my. I didn't know they were raising the fee. But you know what? It's worth it. But I get some AWOL news occasionally on my Google feed. And the FCC's already coming out and warning ham operators against doing and talking about anything illegal on the air.
Saw that. Yeah, they were talking about raising the line, or they told me they already going to do it. It's going to raise it up to $50.
About the fee, because once you get it one time, you're in. You know, you're qualified, classified, all the good stuff, but you just got to put the work in to do it. Now, what about our other gentleman in there? What did you say your name was?
And yeah, I was definitely going to echo what you were saying. I went and got my general because you really can't count on 10 meters being open, and unless you work CW, you can't do anything on 40 or 20, so it kind of, it gets a little tight in there.
Yes, it does. Now, Andrew, are you doing anything FTA?
Kind of where I got started on the HF bands, you know, I didn't really talk on the repeaters a whole lot. I've had to kind of push myself to do that, but, you know, 10 meters was kind of open during the summer. That was nice, and then it kind of closed down, and so I started studying for my general. I do a little bit now. I'm actually trying to get into doing some parks on the air activations, just, you know, doing the hunting part of it, which has been a lot of fun.
If you're kind of over there near Bowling Springs in Inman, there's a friend of mine that just got set up to do POTA, and he's actually thinking about trying to do some SOTA. But I tell you what, he's W4NGU, and he's a pretty good guy too. Y'all ought to get together, because I'm gonna try to get up with him and see what we can do about doing some parks on the air. That just sounds like it'd be fun.
I'm gonna hop off here. It's good talking with y'all. It's KO4GPA, and I'll be clear.
Hey, Jimmy, try to behave yourself, and if you can't, just don't get caught. Have a good one, buddy.
I'll do my best. KO4GPA, clear.
7-3s, hope we get you on the air another time. But there was somebody else in there. Was somebody else calling?
Kilo 4 Lima Alpha Zulu. Name here is Jim. I just heard y'all talking about POTA, Parks in the Air, and wanted to chime in on that for a minute. I'm short time, but I figured I'd join while I could.
Jump in there.
I'm kind of in a similar boat to you guys. I got my general about 3 years ago and dabbled a bit on HF, just not having the resources or the time or the space to do anything with antennas. So I kind of just put it on the wayside. But I moved a year and a half ago and been playing around more with it since then. And I just recently upgraded my HF rig and got something that's, you know, pretty reliable and has a good bit of features. And then I've been playing with some portable verticals. And I actually did a POTA activation 2 weekends ago in Kiwi Toxaway State Park. And then I've done one over in Spartanburg, a little park there, just as a trial run, just parked the truck and used the Tar Heel antenna on here to do it. But it is a lot of fun. It's exciting to get that pile up whenever you've been spotted online and so people are scanning around looking for you.
Andrew? Where you went in Spartanburg to activate? I didn't see a lot of parks around. I saw, what is it, up in Calpin? Yeah, the Calpin's Battlefield. I saw it and a couple down towards Packlet.
I went to Croft State Park, which is a little park there. It's not too far from downtown Spartanburg. I work in downtown, well, not downtown, but I work in Spartanburg. So it was about 15 minutes from my office. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go just set up over here for half an hour or so and see what I can get. And I actually was only on the air for about 20 minutes because I got there at like 5 p.m. and then the park closes at 6, and I think I got like 13 contacts, and I did spot myself online. I went online and spotted myself as activating, but yeah, I set up on 40 meters around 5:15 p.m. and got 13 contacts in 15-20 minutes and kind of caught the bug from there. And then I did a more lengthy activation on a Friday night, Saturday morning in a park in Kiwi Toxaway State Park up there. Took the camper out, set up, and had the rig set up in the camper and ran 40 and 80 on Friday night and then 20 on Saturday morning. And I think between the three bands, I had something like 76 contacts.
Great. But you know what I want to do? I've got a 10x12 trailer, and I want to try to get myself a crank-up antenna that I can throw up real fast and get myself something like a vertical that I can run up that crank-up mast. And I want to go up to the Shining Rock Wilderness. That's up on top of the parkway. That's at 6,000, I think it's 6,200 and something feet. I just think that would just, I think I could make some contacts up there.
I was driving the truck up in North Carolina a few weeks ago, and it was booming, and the POTA activations were booming in, and I was just, hunting. I was just calling back to them, and that was just the little Tar Heel on my back of my Tahoe driving up through the Asheville-Hendersonville area. So I'm sure that going up there, you get some pretty great ones. So what I bought to do portable activation is a Wolf River coil system, Wolf River coil antenna, and it basically is a full system. It's got like a tunable coil, so you can run it up and down depending on what band you want to be on. It's like a manual screwdriver, pretty much. And then it's got an extendable mast. I want to say it's like 11 feet long. It's got a little wide tripod base, and it's got ground radials that hook up. And you basically, I can set the whole thing up in 5 minutes, get it tuned to be a little nano VNA analyzer that I can tune it with, and then be on the air, in 10-15 minutes after getting where I'm going. So it's pretty impressive. I mean, I was making contacts out there the other weekend, and I'm hoping to do the same thing this weekend. I'm going to go set up in South Cove County Park, which is on Lake Kiwi, it's on a peninsula, and I'm going to set up there and try to do some play along with the winter field day going on. This is going to be my last one because I just pulled in my driveway, but I figured I'd chime in while I heard you guys in there talking about POTA. Kilo 4, Lima Alpha Zulu.
On the air, big guy. And what do you think that's going to be, Saturday or Sunday?
I'm setting up on Saturday, and the event officially starts at 2 p.m., so I'm going to try to, I think the check-in is probably 2 p.m., so I'm going to try to get there around, check-in time, 2 p.m., and get set up as fast as I can. I'll probably start on either 20 or 40, and then once it gets, the sun starts to set, I'll probably jump over to 80, and probably Saturday or Sunday morning, I'll try to jump back down to 20, because I know 20 usually behaves a little bit better in early hours in the morning, and see if I can get some DX in there. Anyway, 7-3s to you guys. Like I said, it's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed POTA quite a bit the couple of times I've done it, and plan to keep doing it. So if anyone ever wants to get out there and you know, go with me and we can set up multiple stations or something like that, or try multiple rigs, multiple antennas. I'd love to do it. Name here is Jim again, Juliet India Mike, and my call sign is Kilo Kilo 4 Lima Alpha Zulu. 7-3 to you guys, and I'm going to be clear.
Have a good evening, big guy. And Andrew, I just pulled up here in front of a store. I got to go in and pick up something for my wife. And I will talk to you again soon also. I think that'd be fun. Maybe you and me and that guy in Bowling Springs can all hook up and go out and try it together one time with multiple radios. So you have a good evening also. 73, this is KN4BWA. I'll be clear after your final.
All right, gentlemen. Y'all have a good one. It's been nice talking to you. I got to get on in the house. 73, this is KO4CES, and I'll be cleared.
Four CPA Mobile.
Hey, David, how you doing? Did you have a good game? N4DJC.
Yeah, it was real good until it started raining.
Not good. I didn't stick my nose out outside this evening to see if it was raining. I didn't know. I don't think it is here.
It started as light drizzle, and we finished our first match, and then we went up to another court to play the second match, and it started drizzling again, and it got heavier, and so it's kind of turned into a moderate rain now. And we didn't even finish one game. We got about 3 points in, and we just said, all right, guys, that's it. We're done.
That's not good. That was a... I hope you didn't have to drive too far to get there.
Like, you know, 15 minutes from my house, and nice leisurely drive down Edwards Road. So it's not too bad.
I call a drive down Woodruff Road is leisurely, but I get that's not very far if it's 15 minutes down Woodruff.
Maneuvering a car here, I couldn't tell what he was doing. I was trying to get in the left lane, and I couldn't tell if he was or not. It's one of those, you know, which lane do you want kind of situations.
It's not worth having an accident over something like that. They Woodruff Road, I don't know if it's bad now with all the restrictions going on or not, but the traffic was, my daughter lives actually, well, she lives in Greenwood. She lives not too far from Malden city limits. And, man, going down Woodruff Road, it's like, I feel like I was taking my life in my hands.
It's kind of like 85 in slow motion, slower motion. And plus the fact that you got people slamming on their brakes because they don't realize the person in front of them is turning right into a business. And then you got people turning left across two lanes of traffic. So you just never know what you're going to run into, literally run into.
In other words, all normal, KN4BWA.
Steve, how you doing, babe?
Anymore, I just take what comes.
How you doing there, Mr. Wilder?
Right here, I don't check anymore, David. By the way, I told you about that time I was coming back from Atlanta in my truck, didn't I?
I'm getting ready to hear about it.
Well, I was on my way back up from Atlanta in my 2500 diesel, and I kept getting this little thump, 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 thump in one of the tires. I pulled over, and you know what I found? A 1961 Volkswagen Microbus, full of hippies caught in the treads.
Now, that's not funny.
Well, they didn't think it was either, but they didn't know if they was dizzy from that or from what they was smoking.
I dread driving on 85 anymore. in the Greenville-Spartanburg or even going south to, through Anderson. Until you get past Anderson, it's just, or past Spartanburg, it's just a mess. And then you run in, if you're going north, you run into the Charlotte traffic. And I know my daughter, when she went to Liberty University, she went that way up 85 North, and she got a lot of speeding tickets. I think she had a dash full of them.
So in other words, she takes after her daddy.
I hated that trip back and forth to Rock Hill. David, you say your daughter went to Winthrop too?
Say it again.
Did you say that your daughter went to Winthrop?
My youngest went to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Did Winthrop for some reason or another, but I hated it. From here to Rock Hill or Charlotte, that's just, the other side of Spartanburg is cleared up a little bit, but I hadn't been up there that way in probably a year, I guess. It's not quite as bad as it was 2 years ago, I know that.
Hey, Jerry, you remember the drive from Greenville over to Rock Hill? You get up to about Blacksburg or up to the state line and cut across over on 49 and 5 and all that business? That was just a miserable road when they was trying to fix it through there.
Way sometimes. I got a friend of mine that lived in Pineville. I'd go by and see him. He has an office just at Carowinds. You know, when you travel like you do, like I used to as well, sometimes you just take a different route just to see different scenery. But going down 49, that thing was, I mean, that was like capital punishment. It was torturous going down the road. The last time I was up that way, my wife and I decided to go that way, and I said, I didn't recognize any of it had grown so much.
Yeah, it's a nice road across there now. Well, listen, I got to go in and order a couple of cheeseburgers for me and my wife, so I'll be right back in a few minutes. Y'all carry on, K4BWA. I'll be back in a minute.
Well, we'll probably be able to smell those cheeseburgers from here.
Talk about a cheeseburger. I hadn't had one made outside the house now since March, I don't think. We haven't eaten any carry out at all.
It's been going through the, drive-through places, and there's been a few places I go inside and pick it up. Of course, I'd wear a mask, but it was already paid for, so, you know, I just spent, like, I was inside like a minute, and there usually wasn't anybody else in there. And we eat supper kind of early, and so I've already had supper. I had supper before I went to play tennis, so I don't like to play tennis on an empty stomach.
Amen. We eat early as well. We try to eat no later about 6 or 6:30 nowadays. We used to eat late, I did, but my wife's always eating fairly. Had dinner in the evening a little earlier. But if you got a place you can go, if you trust them, and there's some place that just you're a regular and there's not a lot of people in there, I'm sure it's probably fine. We just haven't done it. But we hadn't even had a pizza or anything like that. Care. We cooked everything at home. We either brought it to prepare it here or one of the other. My wife's a good cook, so it's not a big deal. But I do. Some things, you just haven't. Some of the things, you just can't replicate at home, though.
And this time of year, of course, it hasn't been too bad the last few days, but usually this time of year it's pretty cold, and who wants to stand outside and grill? Stand outside freezing. And, but anyway, but we've been going to, get through the drive-thru at Bojangles or, Zaxby's, something like that, but, we haven't eaten in I don't know what it's like to eat in a restaurant. I forgot what that's like. I don't know if that'll ever happen again.
David, with all these places having such a hard time, I wonder if we'll ever get back to normal again. But I would imagine that once the thing, more people get vaccinated and they get a little more comfortable with going out, there might be a boom for a while. I know we like to do a little traveling and we can't go. We plan on going to a couple places this summer, and that went by the wayside. There are a couple of places I'd like to go where I'm still able to drive reasonably well. And that's going to be something I'll be looking forward to. I'll be glad to get out of the house a little more often than I have been.
Poor CPA. Yeah, I know. I've heard so many people just on the radio saying, you know, they canceled their trips and, you know, some of them had big plans, you know, like flying to Europe and this, that, and the other. But anyway, we've gone down to see our daughter down in Somerville, and that's about the extent of my travel since the COVID started. Well, we did go up to Asheville, what is it, Arden, I think, Arden, and met my sister up there. She lives in Maggie Valley, so it's kind of halfway point, and we met her at the pie shop up there. One of my cousins owns that, and I tell you, she's got some good pie, and a lot of times she didn't even charge us for it, so it works out pretty good. Let me jump out of here a minute. I got to get some fuel, or I'm going to be pushing this pony the rest of the way home. I'll be back in a minute. KB4CBA.
Yeah, okay, David. I'll hang around. I think that sound is good when it's being pushed.
I have fond memories of pushing cars in at John Finger and both sides of his parking lot from the shop were sloped downhill, so it took a concerted effort, and a lot of times it took like five guys, depending on what it was, to push the vehicle in. We didn't have a push car or anything, and I tell you, I hope those days are over, because I tell you what, that's some hard work, and some of them cars didn't want to roll. Anyway, I'll be back in a minute. KB4CBA.
4BWA. You still out there, Jerry?
Save me one of those cheeseburgers, ma'am.
Well, see, here's the problem. My wife has got a pulled muscle in her neck, so I've gone out and got her a heating pad, and I stopped to get her a cheeseburger, and now I'm on the way home. And if I eat my two hot dogs before I get home, she's going to have me a sore neck. So, I gotta sit here and smell them all the way home. Interrupt us.
That's funny. Yeah, I tell you what, there's nothing worse than having something like hot dogs or good cheeseburgers heading home and not to be able to get them, because you know that they're better while they're nice and hot, and by the time you get them home, if they're not exactly hot, if they're just warm, they're just not quite as good. But sometimes they're better when they sit a while, babe.
Yeah, and I tell you what, now I'm a connoisseur of good hot dogs, and I know where every good hot dog place around here is.
Where's the best?
What style of hot dogs do you like?
Oh, with chili. Yeah, just chili and onions and mustard. That sort of thing.
Skin?
Where's that? Yeah, I used to use the varsity a lot when I traveled through Atlanta and Athens that way. And I was never a big fan. I mean, although I was, you know, we ate them a lot when I was a kid, I was never a big fan of varsity hot dogs. They're hamburgers, though. I like the hamburgers pretty well. The onion rings were great, too. But the varsity hot dogs weren't that good. But I used to, there was a place down in, it was actually down in Macon, Georgia, that had, they'd actually fry their hot dogs in hot oil, and those things are pretty tasty. I think it's called New Ray or something like that. New Way, New Ray, something like that.
Back in the days when I was much younger, before Highway 26 went all the way into Tennessee, and 1923 was the only road into Kentucky, there used to be two little spots up there along about Pikeville and one in Wise, Virginia. And they used to sell the absolute best hot dogs with slaw. I like a hot dog that's got chili, onion, mustard, ketchup, and make sure I got onion on there, but I gotta have some good old slaw. And they used to have some of the best ones. I could go through there. I could knock down three of them things without even batting an eye.
The varsity slaw dog, now that's the only hot dog I like at the varsity. Used to go back and get a couple of slaw dogs, some onion rings, and get one of those frosted oranges there. Man, that was a good. And then I used to eat one at Jimmy Carter most of the time. It was a little bit easier to get to than one over near Georgia Tech downtown. But and the one in Athens was pretty easy to get to as well. But I didn't travel through Athens quite as much in the last few years when I go to football games over there anymore. But I like theirs, and there was a place down near actually it was below Aiken. I'm trying to think of the name of Grantonville. I think it's called the Blue Top Cafe. And they had good hamburgers and hot dogs at that place.
Well, now, did it ever come back after the chlorine spill?
They think damn, but the Blue Top Grill, I think, is still there. But Felker, he closed all that stuff. He had a couple of plants in Sylacauga, Alabama. I called on all of those, all of his plants, and he closed down the one there, and I think only in the finishing two, and there was one over there in Augusta that was an old denim finishing plant, but I can't remember the name of that one now, but there were two of them side by side just across the canal, but the ones in Sylacauga, I think all that stuff, he had one in Monroe, Georgia, too. I think all that stuff's gone now.
Yeah, all that chlorine gas, when it went off in there, it destroyed all of that equipment in those mills. It eat up. They had to tear a whole slew of houses down. Matter of fact, it basically killed the town, but I'm surprised they got that diner back open.
It was still open. I'm surprised because, you know, it was just across the railroad tracks there. And, you know, he just built a new plant over there, a new denim plant over there on the way into town. And I don't know what that one, I think that may have been after that chlorine spill. I don't remember exactly when that was, but I know the guys that were working, I knew all the guys that were working there, and they said it was just awful, that it was, you know, that was just a terrible situation. And it just ate the chrome off the bumpers and just ate everything, the cars, and destroyed everything in the area. But I hadn't been down there in a long time, Steve. I don't know whether it is. I guess they level all those plants off down there.
Okay, and 4BW. Yeah, they had the plants that was right there by the tracks. They had to level those buildings. I mean, it was just it was bad.
Several people. They just didn't realize what it was and didn't get out in time. And a lot of other people just damaged their lungs. I don't remember how many died from it, but there were more than 8 or 9, I think. It may have been a lot more than that. That's just a terrible situation. And that was those plants have been operating for a long time before he bought them out. He originally bought that one plant in Monroe, Georgia, and then he just expanded from there. But, yeah, I think all that stuff's closed. I guess that new plant, is that the one they built? Is that plant still on? I know it's probably not operating. I'm just wondering if the building is still there. It's on the left as you were headed in from coming in, I guess, 20, maybe 25.
Yeah, I guess so, but I didn't know they had built a new plant down there, man. Shoot, I hope they have. Get some of the economy back in that little town going. Because all of those people were innocent of that whole situation. Did they ever figure out what caused Norfolk Southern Railroad car to to derail down there?
When I said a new plant, now that plant was built before, I think it was built before the slow rain spill happened. Steve, it may not. Yeah, they shut all that stuff, all that textile business is shut down there. And I didn't know if that plant was, you know, when you come into town there, the plant, the newest plant was there on the left. It was a big plant. And then you go down to this kind of dead end there and take a left like you've headed down through Graniteville. There were a couple plants there on the left as you came into the old plants down its railroad tracks. But I read what happened to it. I think it was just somebody got a car mixed up, either the engineer, whoever was driving it, just didn't see them, didn't know they were there or what. But I mean, they sued them for millions and millions of dollars. I don't know what they wound up, what the settlement wound up being.
Yep. Well, listen, I'm destinated back here at the house, and these hot dogs are calling my name, brother. So I'm going to let you go. You have a good evening. K-N4-VWA, I'll be clear after you
final. Okay, Steve, get inside and eat them things. You better give her something to eat before she smacks you around a little bit. N4DJC, clear.